You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 273 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Cole Andromalos. Thank you, Cole.
Thanks, Cole.
You have a really cool last name.
Really do. So we have some very special guests with us today. The stars of this episode. Please welcome Charlie and Hannah from Goblet of Wine Podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up, friends?
Can I
just so excited about doing this?
How long we've been trying to do this.
So excited. And yes. In true American typical stereotypical fashion, I love listening to you talk. Everything you
Thank you.
Is adorable.
Even when we're talking horrible things.
Correct. Yes. It's just okay.
I'm now going to feel the pressure to do what every Brit does when talking to an American, where and you just become 10 times posher.
Lay it on thick.
I'm going to lay on the accent really thick. We're going to actually become the queen and just, whatever you don't mind.
Tammy, come on. It's stiffing to be here.
We did eat scones earlier.
We did have scones earlier.
Oh, beautiful.
I love scones.
Such a good time.
With clotted cream.
Just butter. We were being boring.
Really get here.
I really?
And butter's delicious too.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we are discussing part one of chapter 25 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, The Seer Overheard. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to sip your way through the details. And before we begin, let's go to Mix Mouse Tales for weekly profit news.
Thank you.
This looks really fun. You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So a while back, I mentioned something about this like magic at play coming to Chicago, and it was something with the Wizarding World. They literally gave absolutely no details about this was, though. All they said was magic at play. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Like, is this permanent? Is this traveling? Like, what is going on? So, but then we went to Harry Potter the Exhibition. And they had a lot of like interactive things there that you did like while also seeing props and costumes and stuff from the film. And I wondered if this was going to just be like a lot of those. Yes.
I want to tell all of our listeners that Megan stood in the Gryffindor doorway with her thumb down and then had the audacity to send me the picture. So
it was a video.
That's the kind
actually?
Of friendship. Well, whatever. It was all the same.
It was so funny. Meg was like, Kate, look. The straight face with the thumb down.
As a Gryffindor, I'm offended.
I'm offended too.
I'm sorry. It's just the Slytherin.
I'm on Meg's side.
So I wanted to know what this was, and now that it's open, we finally like have some more details about what exactly this means. And it is kind of
Are we going to Chicago?
What I thought. I mean, we are going to Chicago for the weekend. But
how
I don't
long
know
is it going to be there?
Gonna, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They haven't really said if it's permanent or not. So it says,
send the Brookhart Project to vlog for us.
Right. I should send them.
Really?
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter has come to Chicago. Harry Potter Magic at Play has made its worldwide debut at Chicago's Water Tower Place, a collaboration between Warner Brothers Themed Entertainment and Original X Productions. So it's a three-floor experience that takes guests on an interactive adventure that follows Harry's journey from Privet Drive to Hogwarts. So they have like photo ops and stuff for you. You can take a picture with like the cart halfway through platform 9 3/4.
So cute.
It says, from the moment guests arrive, they are immersed in Harry's story and are an active participant in their own journey through innovative play, experiential sets, games, and more.
That's a big word.
Yeah, it is, actually. Okay, so you go to the Dursley's house and there's like a bit, there's like mail piling up and you can peek under the stairs at the bedroom. It's basically like a lot of photo ops with like pieces that are semi-interactive. So it's like the Hogwarts Express is there for a photo op and it also like billows steam, which is kind of cool. And they have like floating candles that twinkle with like different photo ops again. I feel like it's basically like you can go and experience certain aspects of the film with like some interaction.
It's kind of like just different parts of like the studio tour as well as like
what, like recreations of sets.
Yeah.
Yeah. With yeah. like some interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely geared toward kids. So it's like, it's supposed to be like a way to introduce young kids to the world and like get them excited about it, which seems kind of cool.
That is cool.
But I also kind of feel like it's a glorified photo opportunity at the same time. So I'm not really, I don't know. Like, it sounds cool, but like, is it something to travel for? I would say no.
Okay.
All right. I'm going by myself.
Well, you have fun,
like you know how at Harry Potter the Exhibition they had like that little area in the Quidditch
yeah.
area where you could like throw the bludger,
which I
throw
rocked.
Do you even know Quidditch?
What did you just say?
I said bludgers. I meant quaffle. It's not a big
you
deal.
Sicken me.
You could like throw the quaffles into the different hoops and stuff. Like, they have that. They've got like, it's just that kind of stuff. I don't know. Like, it seems cool, but eh.
Nah. That's
anyway,
great.
That's Thank what you. I got. Oh,
Thanks
also you can buy
info.
Butterbeer there. You know, another place to buy butterbeer that, let
like,
me tell you, the butterbeer in the bottle sucks.
The bottled one?
All the butterbeer sucks.
Okay.
Lies!
It's disgusting.
It's horrible.
Warm butterbeer is so good.
No. Look, they're going to kick us off already.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry,
it's
this
rancid.
Episode's over.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Disgusting. Bye.
It's just
that
sweet.
It's a hot take.
It's just
it
sweet,
sweet
nonsense. It's not some form of magical, slightly alcoholic buttery beverage. It's just sweet.
It's disgusting.
Lemonade float nonsense.
Yeah. Grim.
This is the hill I'll die on.
Yeah.
I really like the warm butterbeer. At Universal, I will say that I do not like just like the pop version, like the I don't like that one where it's just like the fizzy
cream soda with foam.
Yeah, that's not good. But
yeah, agreed.
I do like the hot butter beer, especially when you add a shot of espresso to it.
Yeah.
It cuts Ooh. The sweetness a little bit.
Yeah,
but
See,
I like
to
do
us
that
there more.
Except you have to like take it away from the counter because you know the author is all, don't mess with my recipe. And I'm like, but this makes it taste better. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So if anybody goes to the Magic at Play thing, let me know if you like it. It seems cool, but I don't know if I will make it a point to want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please report.
All right. Make sure that you follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they may too. And that would be cool. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast. I said swish weird.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that sounded a little off in my ears.
I was like, I can't even redo it. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, our Discord channel, which is where we do our live recordings. We also have trivia games, Swish swag boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. As always, we are accepting Potter stories to our email, and you can always send us any fun things, questions, or concerns, and our email is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thanks.
Good job.
Woo!
It's time.
I feel like I ran out of breath because I'm talking fast.
I'm going to run out of breath.
it was the schwick.
Oh, thank you. I missed your recap. I'm so sad.
Well, I just
I was speaking like a rude human.
It's fine. They all heard it.
Fun fact. We're coming to you from the future.
Ooh.
So all I know about the last episode right now is that we wrapped up a three-parter on Succum Sempra with Lori Kim. And I think it's safe to say that it was freaking incredible and amazing.
It was totally amazing.
Megan probably said she loves Snape. It's fine.
It probably happened. We're probably all converted. We all just are Snape stans now.
Oh,
probably not. But like I said, if anybody can convince us, it would be Lori Kim because she's amazing.
She's
so
amazing.
We'll see what happens. See what happens.
If you ever want your whole viewpoint on Snape to just be questioned, just listen to Lori for about 5 minutes.
Something that I really, really love about Lori, and I try to take this like with my own view because I have a controversial favorite character, but like she will call out Snape's faults. Like she's not in denial of the things that he is, that he clearly shows us. So like I appreciate that because not everybody is wholly good.
Yeah, obviously we all know that he's questionable, right? I'm a little more than questionable, but I always said, and I know this is like I'm a recorder with this, when I say that I like Snape, I just mean he was written well, because he's extremely unlikable and he was meant to be that way.
Every time just be like, I like the way he's written.
Yeah,
I like the way he's written.
I like the way he's written.
We do this constantly. We were just like, oh, we love Greyback so much. We obviously don't love Greyback. Yeah. That would be weird.
Right. It's fun to love a villain. It's fun to love a villain. Yeah. Like, I love Darth Vader, but I do not approve of killing younglings, okay?
It's the difference between liking a character and liking them as a person.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I just want them over for dinner.
Right.
No. I just do really love how she thinks about Snape, and she always comes up with these like reasonings as to why he does X, Y, or Z, where I will just kind of look at it and be like, well, it's because he's a jerk.
I hate
she'll be like, well, no, actually, like this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, I guess you're right.
I feel like it also helps you like in real time life be like, oh, like check, like, people do the things that they do for reasons. We're not giving excuses for things, but there's like,
but there could be a reason.
There's cake layers under there that you need to figure out. There's always a why.
He's a deep and sweaty character. Let's just say
truly
that.
Sweaty and greasy. Let's
not
move on.
Talked about that was me. Oh, I'm a little ill.
Sweaty. Don't worry about it. Okay, so summary of what we're talking about today. Harry and Ginny are official. They are not dunzo yet.
Not dunzo.
Like Ron and Lavender. Dunzo. Dean and Ginny. Dunzo. They're not dunzo yet. Sorry, I read my notes wrong. Hermione wants to chat princeling things, and Harry isn't having it. I'm in the middle of reading Throne of Glass, which is why I typed princeling and it just made me laugh. So anyway, we also learn about Eileen Prince. Guys, do you remember when I forgot who she was?
I will never forget when you said, and who's that, or whatever you said. It was like literally our first year of it had to have been.
It was so dumb.
It had to have been like one of the first few episodes.
Yeah.
And she was
lady.
Like,
and I was like, wow, I'm really making
pointless.
People
just
understand
fake fun.
That. Yeah, right. Yes, please listen to me talk about Harry Potter. I don't remember who Eileen Prince is.
It's okay. I was hardcore set for like 5 minutes that Regulus Black was killed by Voldemort. And that's absolutely not true.
It's all right. We all have our moments.
I mean, he was, but he wasn't. It was, you know. In theory, it's neither here nor there.
We also get to see Jim Peaks.
Jim Peaks
again tells Harry to run to Dumbledore's office. Dude, Dumbledore tells Harry to run to Dumbledore's office, and on his way there he sees Trelawney trying to get into the room requirement, and Harry learns that she got in and heard whooping gleefully.
Whooping.
This is where the poop hits the fan, my friends.
It sure does.
The whoop, oh, my lord.
Whoopy poop.
Let's talk about the poop. Okay. So Harry and Ginny are officially official, and everybody is interested. It's like front page news. Okay. And so he's actually like not too bothered by them being like the number one topic of gossip, because that's Hogwarts. Everybody knows, right? He's just happy that they're talking about a relationship of his that is like good, rather than like maybe setting a basilisk loose in school, being Slytherin's heir, everybody hating him for being the other champion in the tournament. So this is okay. It's okay gossip.
This right is good now. Gossip.
Okay. It's fine. So I think this is cute because they completely are like into this. So they're really cozy in the common room. And I think like that is such like a like high school thing. Like you're all like weird around each other for a really long time, and then like you're like official boyfriend and girlfriend, and then you're like, I can totally touch your arm and everything's fine.
This is honestly one of my favorite little moments, just the way it's described, them sitting with Harry on a chair and Ginny mm-hmm. just leaning against his knees whilst reading the newspaper, and Ron Hermione on the other sofa, because it's like this one glimpse. Like, literally, as you said, like, everything's about to go wrong at the end of this chapter. We have half a chapter of something being nice and happy mm-hmm. yeah. and pure. And it's the glimpse of what, like, could be if mm-hmm. the war didn't happen, and what hopefully will be after the war, what Harry's fighting for. But the four of them just get on so well, and you can see, like, that's how they'll get on when they're adults. And
yes.
Harry gets so little time to be happy. It's literally half a chapter, and then it's like, everything is awful, everything is terrible.
Right. Yeah. And he yep. gets so very few of these glimpses into this normalcy of what his life could have been like had he not been the chosen one, had there not been like a war and whatnot. And I think that's part of the genius of the author's writing, is that she gives us these glimpses that we eat up as readers, and then they're all taken away.
It's a false sense of security. I mean,
she gives Lupin like 2 seconds to be purely happy in his life.
Don't even get me
after
started.
He's bitten. I mean, I feel like age birth to 5, he's like cool as a cucumber. But then, you know,
had to bring up Remus.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but like to. Truly, like, how unfair is that? And when you think about it, it's like, that's real time life, though. Like, that's things aren't always fair, especially during wartime.
Yeah.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Harry does think to himself that you'd think people would have better things to talk about. Like what? Because personally, I think this is incredible gossip that mm-hmm. the chosen one is now dating his best friend's little sister.
I'd have been talking about it.
Oh, for like, sure.
What could possibly be better to talk about? I would be all over this tea, all over this gossip. Mm-hmm. And like, also, like, oh, you think they'd have something better to talk about in wartime? No, you think they would cling on to anything that is joyful and somewhat gossipy to talk yes. about? Like, absolutely, they're going to talk about this.
Right? We're tired of talking about sketchy stuff in The Prophet. Let's yeah. talk about teenage romance.
Honestly. Let's talk about how Ron is dealing with the fact that his sister is dating his best friend, because that is so complicated. And how it's publicly so they got together as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bad, bad,
very
bad.
Publicly.
Yeah. You guys.
So here's a quote. 3 Dementor attacks in a week, and all Romilda Vane does is ask me if it's true you've got a hippogriff tattooed across your chest. Ron and Hermione both roared with laughter.
Where did this rumor start? I need to know.
I don't know. Where also would he have gotten it? You know what I mean?
Hogsmeade?
Yeah. Hogsmeade have a tattoo shop
there? He's Harry Potter. I did wonder if like wizarding tattoos are a thing. You know how portraits
how
can
move?
Can you get like a, you know, if he had like the dragon, could it's like tail?
Like Maui's tattoo.
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, it wouldn't have to be like in a spot where you can flex and make it move. It would just move on its own.
Just go.
That'd be sick. back.
I would love that. Ron and Hermione both roared with laughter. Harry ignored them. What did you tell her? I told her it's a Hungarian horntail, said Ginny, turning the page of the newspaper idly. Much more macho. Thanks, said Harry, grinning. And what did you tell her Ron's got? A pygmy puff, but I didn't say where.
I get a pygmy puff tat.
All right, so here's your lightning bolt round question. And it has to be immediate. Where's the puff tattoo? Where's the pygmy puff tattoo?
I think tramp stamp. Like, yes. I know that's a horrible term for it, lower but I back. Think it's a lower back got situation. It.
I'm saying what? Butt cheek.
Oh, you took mine.
The yeah, left you, one.
You're setting us up for failure because I can't say what I want to say, so I'm saying butt cheek.
Okay, you can have the right cheek. I'll do I'll the left. The right. You can have you the have right left, cheek.
I'll have right.
Okay.
I'm going to say that it could be, like, high up on his thigh.
Oh, little thigh tat. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have it be around the belly button. The belly button is the pygmy puff's mouth.
No.
That's horrible.
Oh my God. It's so creepy.
Why?
Wait, or it could be like in his armpit, and his armpit hair could be the
no!
pygmy puff's fur.
You're worse now. Katie.
Can we leave? Is it too
no, you can go.
Leave?
You can go. I give you permission.
On his chest are both nipples or the eyes.
Oh, that's yes. huge.
Thank you.
It's just huge.
Thank you. That's a huge tat.
Oh my
that's
God.
Painful.
I just he's like more me puff than Ron at this point.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to remind you, Tiffany, you asked this question.
I'm not a it's fine. Oh, I love this moment because it's sweet, innocent, kids having fun, and savor it because everybody's about to go camping and everything's gonna suck.
I know this moment hurts so much more knowing what's coming because they're just getting along as friends and having like a simple bit of fun, and I'm like, everything's about to be taken away from you.
Like the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
And very
JK
sadly.
Definitely did sprinkle this in here. It's like, ooh, lovely bit of friendly banter, them getting along. Watch me crush it. Yeah.
So Ron tries to be super tough and tells her to watch it because he thinks he can just go ahead and withdraw the permission that he gave them to date. Of course,
freaking
Ginny
laughable.
Scoffs at this. She's like, you don't give me permission to do any of the things.
Yeah, because, you know, Ron definitely owns his sister. That is how having younger siblings work. You just kind of own them. Yeah, but then Ginny's like, well, you like it better than when I was dating Dean or Michael. And Ron's like, yeah, I guess I do.
Yes. Truly. He's all like, I don't want to see you snogging in public, pretty much. And she's like, you filthy hypocrite. I love the word filthy here. It's perfect. What about you and Lavender thrashing around like a pair of eels all over the place? And all I can picture is Flotsam and Jetsam from The Little Mermaid. So this is, it's just a great quality few moments opening up this chapter. And then we're getting into this other thing, because even with the short time that we know that they have for enjoying each other's company, it's even cut shorter because Ginny is studying for OWLs and they don't have a whole lot of time to be like hanging out. So Harry is alone in the common room and he's thinking about a moment where he spent with Ginny and Hermione plops in beside him and in between Ron as well, which I think is cute. And I love that dynamic because she's just in the middle of her two best buds. And I think that that's cute. And she's like, I want to talk about the Half-Blood Prince. And he goes, oh, not again. Will you please drop it? So we find out Harry's kind of been battling with himself a little bit about this topic. He had not dared to return to the Room of Requirement to retrieve his book, and his performance in potions was suffering accordingly. Though Slughorn, who approved of Ginny, had... Oh, God, what's that word?
I want to look that up. Jocularly? What the heck does that mean?
Jocularly? Jokingly, I would assume? Attributed this to Harry being lovesick. I love when I learn new words. Give it to me.
A happy way in liking to make jokes.
Ah, I was right.
Context clues, kids. That helps you learn. But Harry was sure that Snape had not yet given up hope of laying hands on the prince's book and was determined to leave it where it was while Snape remained on the lookout.
He just wants his own book back, Harry.
If he'd gone to look for that book, he could have stumbled upon Draco, though. Just saying. His one true thing he cares about right now.
All he cares about is Draco.
Even more than Ginny, probably.
Yep.
Accurate.
Dreary. So she tells him she's not going to drop it until he finally listens to her. And she said, maybe it's a she. And we talked about this in the first part of Sectum Sempra, how different it is to read the author after everything that has transpired.
Yeah, but I found this bit so uncomfortable to read post everything that transpired. Like, I'd never thought about it before in any particular context. Same. I was like, oh, it's like just a little bicker about like handwriting and a girl and boy viewing things differently, and post everything I was like, I'm really uncomfortable with this whole argument, and like the I just think it's a bloke, you can tell it's a bloke, I'm like
I don't like that either. And yeah, I know everybody, we all know what's happened with the author at this point. If you're in this far in the podcast, you know exactly what's going on. But like when we still talk about these things, even with even like with like my daughter, okay, I'm not with her all the time. She goes to school, and I tell her all the time, like, girls' toys, boys' toys, that doesn't exist. Toys are toys. If we want to talk about this, handwriting is handwriting. It doesn't have a gender. Like, that's the thing, and it's still growing up and being raised by me. There's outside forces that are telling our children differently. So I just implore you to check your own history and watch what you're saying to kids, because even my kid will say, let's play a boy game. I'm like, that doesn't exist. There's just games, like, or a girl game. There's just games. So
it's so hard when you're like trying to do such a wonderful job, but the outside influence, you can't help all those outside influences that are happening.
And I recognize as, you know, just an adult within the world, that it's going to take decades and decades and decades for us to finally like grow as a whole society out of it. Do I make mistakes still and say things? Yeah, because it's ingrained in me and that's how I was brought up, but actively work against it, please. Okay.
So box.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, it's, we just have to check ourselves, just continuously grow. Harry's like, it's Prince, a boy. And she gets angry. And her face heats up, and she pulls out an old piece of newsprint, and she slams it on the table. And she's like, look at it!
And Harry internally is like, okay, I've looked at it. That person is not pretty.
Right?
Well, thanks, Harry! We didn't need that thrown in. Not the topic of conversation we were on, my man. Oh, good lord, Harry Potter.
But that's... literally. That's, I guess, I don't know.
Harry, throughout the books, Harry does this. Harry will see someone and be like,
he judges.
I can't tell the joke that we tell on our podcast, but he will look at anyone and like basically rate them out of 10. He's like, no. Yeah,
and
they're good
why
looking.
Why does he do that? Right. I wonder. I just...
Because and he's a jock.
But also, it always links.
Whoa! Okay, you could argue that I too was a jock, but I wasn't rating people in my head. Maybe I was. I don't know. I don't remember high school, Tiffany. She may have been like, "You're a six.
You're a six." But the thing is, like, it always 9 times out of 10 links to their morality. If they're a good character, then they're attractive. Yes. If they're a bad character, then they're unattractive. And it's definitely the author's own awful opinions shining through.
Yep.
But it's really deeply uncomfortable when the moment a character is mentioned, you can immediately tell if they're going to be a good or a bad character based on how attractive Harry finds them.
Yeah.
Even when Slughorn's weight is brought up a lot. And he's kind of written as like this kind of jolly sort of gluttonous person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is so like, what are we doing here? But
he
alas,
is one of our favorite characters to discuss because I think he is the absolute perfect embodiment of morally gray. Mm. But even his description lends itself to that. Like, it's a lot of the characters throughout Harry Potter are either good or bad. It takes until we're further through the books to get these true morally gray characters. But yeah, even his description lends itself to that, where Harry's like, well, he's not like terrible looking, but you know, the connotations of his size are not something I agree with, and it's all a bit icky.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mia in the chat said that she thinks the only exception to this rule is Molly Weasley, which I agree.
Which what?
It's just Molly. Like, because they talk about Molly's weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
But she is an inherently good character.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that is like maybe the one exception.
And honestly, but that's like, if you think of American culture, small is better. Always. Yeah.
Right.
And like, I'm just, these books are of their time, and I have to recognize that. Just like anything we read from the past is going to have that layered throughout, and we just have to, just like I said, constantly push back and recognize these things in our everyday life.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's horrifying though, because at the end of the day, they're children's books. I know less so as we get further on, but you think that she would have had a consciousness at the time to be like, hey, what kind of messages do I want to give to children? What am I subliminally like putting in here? You really think that she would have thought, because it's a kind of thing that I think you don't really notice when you do a casual reading. And it's definitely not something I ever notice until we start to do the deeper reading on the podcast. And then I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Anytime a new character is introduced,
first line. Like it's the Eileen Prince one was so wild to me, because often we get a bit more in depth into characters because we get to hear what their voice is like and their mannerisms are like, because Harry's meeting them in real life. Because Harry's looking at a photo of Eileen Prince, it is literally, Hermione puts the photo down, it was a picture of a girl, she was not attractive. I'm like, the blatantness of that being the first line is just, and it's the way all characters are described in Harry Potter, and it's quite shocking when you think about how you break down describing a character, because like with writing in general, and I think we've both been thinking a lot more about like how books are structured recently, you have to describe a character. You need to tell their physical attributes so the reader can imagine them. That is a really important part of writing a character, but it's an opinion that's always given first before their physical attributes.
Yeah. And the way, again, that it links to morality is like, really uncomfortable. And it also makes you wonder, had Harry seen the picture and seen a attractive woman, would he have been more open to the idea of it being the prince?
Mm, yeah. Right.
I also wonder, just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, I wonder if the author described Eileen Prince as unattractive because of Harry's hatred for Snape.
Yes, so, he's not realizing that it's preconceptually she looks a bit like Snape
because he hates him, so like automatically if I see somebody that looks similar, you're gross.
Yeah. I think it's really obvious when you read this, you're like, obviously Hermione is going to be correct. I know she's only partly correct, like, but you don't read this and you're like, oh yes, Hermione, who is canonically pretty always correct. Like the knowledgeable right one. You don't read this like, wow, this is going to be irrelevant information.
It's like, you're like, and it has got to the point where Harry is being stubborn for the sake of being stubborn, because he has no argument against Hermione apart from, it's a bloke. I know it is.
A feeling.
Like, shut up. That's not a re. And then he almost has the gall to be like, I know girls are intelligent, but I'm going to argue with you whilst having nothing to back my point up apart from, I know it's a bloke. Like,
yeah. And this is the thing, because Harry claims that it's not sexism because he's friends with Hermione, so he knows that women are intelligent. But I think that what men don't realize is that even though logically at the front of your brain, you might be like, yes, I know intelligent women, that doesn't mean that you haven't been socialized and
learn and that it's a thing that you need to unlearn. They absolutely, like, you're taught to think about women in a certain way. So I don't think that Harry was actively being sexist in that, women aren't intelligent. But I do believe that, you know, you can't deny that there is things that you have that to unlearn.
Yeah. That gives me such big, like, well, I have a friend who's gay vibes.
Yes, it does.
You know what I mean?
It truly does. Like, yeah. I know women are intelligent
insert
because I know
any
you.
Other thing.
It 100%
any
does.
Any other minority. Yeah. No, I'm not because I have a friend. I literally, it's kind of funny because, like, this is my part. So I'm glad that we're talking about it because I wrote all of these things down. Like, it is kind of sexist and elitist of Harry to think or say these things. And I like the point that you brought up about how, like, yeah, okay, he does have Hermione, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't taught to think X, Y, or Z. And I literally wrote the gay example too.
So, did you really? I did. Oh my god.
No, I did. I was like, it's literally the same thing as being like, well, I have a gay friend, so I'm not homophobic. It's like, that's not how that works.
No.
Yeah.
Actually.
I'm really sorry. We have to stop the conversation. What's the cat's name? I need to know.
Oh. This is Teddy.
Teddy, hi.
We were
after
away.
Teddy Lupin.
Yes. We were away this weekend, so he is just like, Mom, you're back.
He's so
god.
Even though he's really sad we brought the dog home with us because he was like,
his tail is just all around your face. Oh, he's missed you so much. Look at him. Sorry, derailing the conversation.
No. Oh, please, I'll talk about
this
my cat
is what
at
we
any
do.
Point in time.
I had another point and now I can't remember it. What was the last point made?
Homophobic.
Gay
having a gay friend.
Which, oh, these are my two gay friends.
I'm Hannah's gay friend.
Yay!
I think as well what we have to consider is, as much as, you know, we know and Harry knows, Dursleys are bad. Yeah. He has still been raised by the Dursleys. And I absolutely believe that around the dinner table, Vernon Dursley would probably say all kinds of sexist, bigoted, awful things. And yes, on one level, Harry might, you know that they're incorrect. That still leaves a mark. That still leaves those prejudices on you and that way of thinking. And it can be really deep and really subliminal. But at the end of the day, he's been raised by some really horrible, horrible people that definitely have awful opinions.
Yeah. And it takes a long time to unlearn things. Mm-hmm. We have multiple times throughout this podcast said we are still learning and unlearning things and disagree with things we've said
totally
3 years ago on this podcast, because you are always learning and growing. So, of course, Harry is going to have things he hasn't unlearned yet because he's 16.
Yeah, even the most feminist of women, like, you know, myself, I have internalized sexism that even, almost 28, I am still unlearning the internalized sexism. So it's a bit rich of Harry as a man to be like, oh no, I'm not being sexist. I'm not sexist because I know an intelligent woman. When it's like, no, I'm sorry. Even women have to unlearn internalized sexism. You can't.
Yep.
You're not above that, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Totally.
A white man.
No! Oh, I love Schmidt so much.
Yeah, same.
So good.
It's so great.
Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit in my part because we did talk about all this. So okay. So Hermione vows to find out more about Eileen Prince anyway, because the prophet that she had in her hand came from the library. So she's going to go back and search through those, especially looking at old potions awards, which actually is a really solid idea, to see if she can learn more about Eileen.
Why isn't Harry doing this? Why doesn't Harry have a drop of curiosity in his stupid little pea brain? It's also
he doesn't want it to be a thing.
It's Hermione as well, like, kind of taking on, like, I guess, like, emotional and intellectual labor. Because Harry is sexist.
I'm not sure he, like, cares so much.
Yeah, I don't understand how he has no curiosity over who
the
prince is.
Like, it has to be done. Like,
I feel like maybe it's because he doesn't want the answer because he's enjoying the mystery of it. And I know he doesn't have the book anymore, but, like, I'm sure that it goes through his mind all the time to go back and get it. And like, he loves the mystery of just being like, this book is teaching me these things. And like, this mysterious character is. And like, I like that I'm the one who's doing all of these things right now. And it makes me look really good. Yeah. And he doesn't want to know who's attributing to that.
And I think she also
oh my gosh.
Wow.
Did Marty bring you food? Are you crying?
No.
It's just such a good egg. Another bin. Oh my god.
I just saw Tiffany mouth. I love you.
Yeah, I saw so clearly, I love you. I was like, my heart.
Hi, Bobby.
Fozzie Bear's here. Gosh.
What up, Foz?
Hi, here. Fozzie.
Oh my gosh, hi. Oh, look at his little face.
He's my own man.
Billy is locked in the living room.
Where is my animal? I've closed the door. That's where he is. He's no way to talk about Neil. That's no way to discuss Neil.
Oh,
I had
gosh.
A point. Okay. What was the last thing I said again? I can't remember.
We, old Potions Awards.
Hermione taking on emotional labor for men.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Sorry. I'm so like, I will forget my point.
Oh, you're fine.
Immediately.
Us too.
Yeah, I think. Oh my god, it's gone.
Okay, yes! Listen. If we
okay.
talk,
just
it'll
like,
come back.
Interject. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
What is wrong with me?
And then
we're gonna
Ron...
call this episode brain fart.
Yeah. I love it. Ron is very Ron in this moment as well, and which is kind of stupid if he's trying to like court Hermione. But he looks at Harry and says that Hermione just can't handle him outperforming him in potions, which is unfair. And she also could just, I kind of think, she just genuinely wants to know who this is. Like, why does there have to be this mean reason behind it?
Yeah, I don't understand how the boys aren't curious. Like, I will read one thing about something and then I'm like down a Wikipedia hole because my curiosity will not let me rest. I don't understand people who aren't like that.
Yeah, but I think Harry, I think he deep down, he knows that the prince is going to be a bad egg and therefore he doesn't want to know.
So maybe it's like purposefully, you're in denial. I'm the queen of doing stuff like that. Okay, here's a really weird example of that. So my first car was kind of like a really garbagey little truck. Okay, I loved that truck and it would make noises, and let me tell you, did I not turn the volume up on the radio so I could pretend that the noises weren't there? So like that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like
gosh.
Deep down he inherently knows that something is wrong and he needs to like figure it out, but he just doesn't want to take the time to do it. Because ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, and he knows not only because of the couple of like dark weird spells, but also I think the fact that his first thought when he sees Eileen or whatever she's called, the fact that it's about, oh, she's unattractive to Harry, we know that's how he sees morality, that he has a link in his brain. I don't believe that's intentionally there, but I think that kind of JK definitely on a level kind of knew that that's what she does. Her villains are unattractive. So I think when Harry sees that she's unattractive, he shuts down to the possibility that it's her, because to him, he sees that as an indicator that she's bad. Mm. And therefore he's like, I don't want it to be her, because that would confirm what I suspect and I'm denying myself, that, you know, the prince is probably bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I like that. I mean, I don't, but I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I pulled up Eileen Prince's Wikia page. I know, obviously, eventually we are going to learn more about her, but let's learn more about her right now. So she, as we know,
is not attractive. Clearly,
is Eileen Snape. She was a British witch, wife to the Muggle Tobias Snape, and is Severus Snape's mom. Let's see. We know that she was captain of the school Gobstones team in her fifth year, because that is in the article that Hermione has. She lived in Spinner's End. And let's see. where is this from?
Oh God, what?
No, okay. I know. Yeah. It's so funny. Do you guys ever like use the Wikia for anything?
Yeah, occasionally. And I'm like, where have you pulled this from? And they're like, and then you click on the source and it's like, yeah, a video game or a page taken a picture of at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I'm like, this is not in the books. Do not put it on the wiki.
Yeah. This is actually from The Prince's Tale though. So it says, on September 1st of 1971, Eileen accompanies Snape to platform 9 3/4 at King's Cross Station and watches him leave on the Hogwarts Express.
Cute.
Right.
Katie. Yeah. <it's>...
The etymology of her name, I always like reading these. So Eileen is Celtic, English, and Irish. It's from Celtic, English, and Irish roots, and has a long-standing history in each culture. In Irish, it's known as a variation of Helen. It became a more popular name in the 19th century, and it is rumored to have roots in Latin, American, French, and Greek cultures as well. However, such claims are not backed up with much more evidence. Other versions of Eileen are like A-I-L-E-E-N in Scotland. Isla, E-I-L-A, is like a Celtic variant of Eileen. And Eleanor also can be like a similarly rooted name to Eileen in Irish. So yeah.
What about come on
Eileen?
I always just think of Emma Watson in
being a wallflower,
dancing to that song.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
Is that why you love that song?
No, I actually did love it before that because I used to have... No, I have a reason. So Come On Eileen is one of my favorite songs. I request it like every party I go to. It's on all my playlists and like party playlists. I've requested it 2 weddings now. No, how I discovered it was I used to be a bit... You know when you would get obsessed with like an outfit as a teenager and like you would be like, this looks cool. I look cool in this. I got a bit obsessed with wearing either a white or striped t-shirt, my dungaree shorts with one shoulder off and a red bandana on my hair.
Nice.
And all my parents would do every time I came down the stairs is go, come on, Eileen. And I didn't get it for years. I finally listened to the song and watched the music video and was like, I see. And then I got angry at the song for years and was like, oh, that was so mean of them to take the mick out of me. Then I started to like it. Then it was Use of Perks Being in the Wallflower, which is one of my favorite films. And yeah, now it is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of Eileen's, let's give a quick shout out to Carrie, Laura, and Eileen, who are our friends.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Eileen. Because I know you guys listen.
Well, girl.
Okay. So Ron continues, and he also says that had it not been for the prince, he would be dead right now, which isn't wrong.
I mean, it's not wrong, but also if Harry had listened in his first ever potions lesson, then he wouldn't be dead right now, so I don't know.
And that also would have been attributed to...
It's still the same person telling him the
same
thing.
That's true, actually. It's still the same, so...
So Ron says, I'm not saying that spell you used on Malfoy was great.
Understatement of the century, Ron.
Right. To slash him, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great. And then Harry quickly says, nor am I. And then Ron goes, but he healed all right, didn't he? Back on his feet in no time.
It's really giving. Have you guys seen Promising Young Woman?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, I should.
No one's gonna get the
watch
reference.
It. Incredible. I won't make the reference because it's spoilery. But incredible film. Watch it.
What is it called?
Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
I'm texting it to myself.
Nice. Hannah, you need to watch it as well.
I know, it's on my list.
But after you finish Mist and Fury.
You're only allowed to do.
So Harry says that is actually just thanks to Snape, but it also partially happened thanks to Snape too, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did, but it didn't. I mean, like, Harry shouldn't have done it. It definitely is his fault, but like, Snape's spell.
Harry just straight up is just bellows out the spell for enemies that he has no idea what it is.
I'm so stupid. You know,
I
other
said
spells.
It last time.
He is such a childlike mentality.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't take enemies for meaning like Voldemort kind of enemy.
He didn't mean like to kill.
Right. Yeah, he was probably like, oh, it's probably like a tickle charm.
I was just thinking that.
It's gonna give him a nookie.
I think we said something like about like Levicorpus last time, like just something just funny, because he actually does do that to him just like randomly.
Yeah,
he does it to Ron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he has detention with Snape on Saturday. And the next Saturday, and the next Saturday. And
solid.
He also says that Snape hints that if he doesn't finish what he's doing, he will be continuing Saturdays next term, which hilarious that you think he's going to show up.
Yeah. Controversial opinion. I don't think this is a big enough punishment.
No, it's probably not.
He didn't nearly kill another student. I think if he was anyone other than the chosen one, he would have been expelled.
Would have gotten expelled.
Like, this is ridiculous.
We call this the Potter effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
He should have gotten in more trouble.
You know, it's a detail that we wouldn't see, but if it doesn't exist, which knowing Hogwarts, it probably doesn't, but they absolutely should have lessons on, hey, kids, don't do spells that you don't know what they do.
Yeah.
I think that should be common sense. That should be like a day one, you know, at Hogwarts. If you read a spell in a book and you don't know what it does,
don't do it.
Don't do it.
That should have been a lesson with Flitwick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the start of term feast when Dumbledore has to say, you know, weird other stuff.
He could have said that instead of nitwit blubber oddment.
But then it wouldn't be whimsical. Yeah. We must be whimsical. Dumbledore is like, should I, you know, do some safeguarding of these children or should I be whimsical?
Well, no, because one of the main actual culprits in Ron getting poisoned and all the other students getting injured is the fact that Dumbledore keeps Draco Malfoy in the school when he has got a murder plot that is hurting other pupils.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're trying to protect Draco from Voldemort, but he has nearly killed three students now, so
it's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine. This school is running so well.
It's fine. Also, Harry clearly did not learn any lesson because all he cares about with these detentions is that they're cutting into his Ginny time. But his thoughts are interrupted here because Jimmy Peaks is in the house.
Yeah.
Katie dated a Jimmy before me.
A Jimmy.
This literally was like a couple episodes ago, of course.
Yeah, but they don't know, so they
know,
need to know.
But like all of us, like these Jimmy things come in waves at me and I just live for the times when it goes dormant again.
They shared
know?
Skittles.
We never want to hashtag never forget Jimmy.
How young were you?
I was like 10. Like it doesn't even count. We didn't kiss.
We didn't kiss. Katie T in the chat says Katie just wants to forget her Jimmy era.
I know. Poor Catherine.
I do.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But now I have to talk about Jimmy Peaks, and I think Tiffany specifically split this chapter apart so that I would have to talk about a Jimmy, just so that this could be brought up again.
I don't do that, Katie.
My butt.
Harsh words. Sick burn.
Super sick burn.
Okay, so Jimmy Peaks comes over, hands Harry a note. I think Jimmy brought him the last note from Dumbledore, too.
Is Jimmy just Dumbledore's messenger?
He's like, can you imagine this happening in the hallway? Jimmy!
No, I
run
like to
this
think
parchment.
I like to think that Dumbledore's wandering around the castle, probably passes Harry like three times.
I've got to get Jimmy.
And he finds Jimmy.
No, but we spoke about on our podcast how weird it is that the notes, there must be other easier ways to get notes to Harry. And yet
like
Dumbledore
an owl?
Is hooking.
Where's Hedwig?
And I just love how much he must be terrifying random students by being
oh
like,
my God.
Oh, hi, will you give this to Harry Potter? And they're they're like,
it's I don't ever see you.
Way to keep it a secret. Way to, you know, minimize the rumors about him being the chosen one.
Yeah, literally. Dumbledore's just stoking the fire when you could, like, you're the most, just do something else.
He also could just give it to any one of Harry's teachers.
Yep,
that would work to give in a lesson.
Well, what about like the interdepartmental memos they use at the ministry? That could just be a little paper airplane straight to Harry.
What about his Patronus?
What about the house elves that work for Dumbledore and can apparate around the castle in 0.5 seconds?
Dumbledore would love to do that for Dumbledore.
Right? Dumbledore is just going for ultimate drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just have this really great image in my head of him like multiple times seeing Jimmy Peaks and being like, hey, what's your name? And he's like, dude, I told you last time it's Jimmy. He's like, yo, James, take this note. He's like, who are you again? He doesn't care. He is Jimmy. Not present. So,
my name's actually James. It's kind of related to Harry. You're it.
Tag you're it. Jimmy Peaks, like James Potter, you're it.
Yeah. Right. He just has no time for this. He's in like these rad like Elton John glasses. He's like, can you just take this for me?
Even though this note is super urgent and says, come at once. It's like, find a faster way to send this urgent note, please.
Right? Literally Patronus that you invented. Thank you.
Yeah,
Dumbledore's actually been sat in his office for 2 days. Like, Harry is taking his time, but it's actually Jimmy just can't find him. Jimmy's just forgotten. He took the note and was like, I'm not doing this again. Went out and played some Quidditch and was like, oh no, I forgot
it. He found it like all like screwed up in the bottom of his bag like 2 days later and was like,
oh no.
Oh my god.
Whoopsie. I used that to put my gum in. Okay. So Harry's like, thanks, Jimmy, for the note. And it's from Dumbledore. Quote, he wants me to go to his office as quick as I can. Again, this could have been done faster. Mm-hmm. So him and Ron stare at each other and Ron's like, blimey, you don't reckon like he hasn't found like, you know, one of those soul thingies you guys are talking about, right? And Harry's like, I don't know, I better go see. Obviously hurries off. We still get a cute sort of little moment here. We're not quite into the drama because he encounters Peeves, and like anytime Peeves is brought up, it's just written gold. He was, quote, throwing bits of chalk at Harry in a routine sort of way and cackling loudly as he dodged Harry's defensive jinx. I love how it's just like, that's just what he does. He just chucks chalk and it's routine.
I'm not saying I don't believe you, but I am checking because I do not remember that in the slightest. And now I'm like, is it different?
This is so disrespectful, Hannah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not. I want to know if it's different.
Maybe it's different. I just didn't. What chapter are we on?
Wait, 25. You don't... Are we talking about Peeves throwing chalk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Seer overheard.
If they left out Peeves, that's not cool.
Wow. I just did not read that bit. Wow.
Anna thinks she knows everything.
I do.
You can know everything. It's fine.
She doesn't. I know nothing.
So Harry's trying to use defensive jinxes, and then we've also seen Remus uses magic against Peeves in third year. And I know he's a poltergeist and not a ghost, but I still think it's interesting that magic does work on him.
Mm.
And it makes me wonder, like, can magic work on ghosts other than petrification, or like ghosts just like a completely separate thing? I don't know.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
You can use magic on poltergeists, but can you use it on ghosts other than petrification? Because we know that Nick gets burned.
I always think you can. Use spells that don't require a physical form. Like something that would require you to have a physical form won't work, but other spells would.
I mean, like, even when Nick did get petrified, that he had to use a fan to like blow him or something.
So there is like some,
like, you can't even just use petrificus to, not petrific, oh my god, Wingardium Leviosa. Can't even like, you know, float him around. But I don't know,
not only that, but how did they get a fan to work? Do they have electricity?
Did they actually use a fan, or is that something that we made up?
No, they do.
No, okay. They do actually use a fan, but maybe it's like a proper, he's doing this, it's like
just a blanket.
They're just like So by the time Harry gets rid of Peeves, there's like 15 minutes left till curfew, so the halls are nice and quiet until he hears this very loud scream and a crash and someone who's like, "How dare you?"
Oh my gosh. I just had Rocco's Modern Life vibes.
How Why? Dare you?
Oh my god. Did you guys have Rocco's Modern Life?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, it's a cartoon.
It's a good cartoon.
Oh my god, it's like a cow. A cow or somebody says that on that show?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I wasn't always allowed to watch it. My mom was kind of weird about Rocco's Modern Life.
It was. It was very crude.
It was about a little
In the chat, wallaby. Some Lenny put a little gif of Rocco.
It was on Nickelodeon.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Harry, full Gryffindor mode, sprints toward the scream, wand at the ready, and he sees Professor Trelawney on the floor.
Harry is like, if there's drama, I'm inserting myself into it. It's time for me.
Yeah. And she's on the floor. She's got her now almost all the time, like, sherry bottle reference. Mm-hmm. All the bottles are lying around her. Harry hurries to help her. She hiccups. Girl's drunk.
We love alcoholism being used as like a comedic plot point.
It's also referenced in something she says at this point that she's like, I've been using the room for years to hide. I mean, I'm like,
I know.
How long has she been having a problem without any of the other teachers stepping in?
Well, because she says something about, like, you know, accusations or something. So it feels like they clearly have tried to have an intervention, and she is then hiding the bottles to like hide the evidence. And it's like, JK, did you really think that this was like a funny, whimsical plot point? Like,
very sad.
What are we adding here? Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, it adds to like the tragedy of her character, but I don't think it adds anything overall.
Yeah, it's like, I would be fine with it as a plot point, but it's just kind of a bit like, oh, you know, funny that old Trelawney is, you know. And it's just, it's presented like it's like a comedic kind of like joke thing. Yeah. And it's,
I didn't get a comedic push from that one. I got like a pitiful kind of vibe, but I don't know if it was adult Tiffany reading it for the pity moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe when I first read it as a kid, I thought, oh, you're just, you know, in the sauce again.
When I was younger, I definitely thought of it as a joke.
Adult me, I'm like, oh, yeah. So maybe I read it different.
Yeah, I mean, adult me, obviously, I don't read it that way, but I feel like it's like meant that way because it just, I feel like her entire character is kind of, she does have like tragic elements to it, but for the most part, she's kind of used as a bit of like a comic relief kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this very much like plays into that, where it's just like her, like, you know, like, kooky, clumsy, eccentric, kind of a bit of like a weird mess kind of thing, and then it just feels like this is being like thrown in there as part of that whole situation. And I prefer the reading of it as, you know, part of her like tragic backstory. And of course, if you were in her position, you would be feeling a whole load of things and be looking for ways to cope. So it makes a lot of sense, but it's one of the many things that I wished it was just a bit like dived into in the text a bit more.
Mia brings up a different point. Were you going to read her comment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it.
Mia says, I just thought it was a plot reminder that you can hide things there. It wasn't funny or pitying. It just was, which I think is an interesting, like another take that somebody else as a reader had, that it's just, this is a room where you hide things. She was trying to hide something and there we are. Because it does remind us, or gives us a clue as a reader for this, that Harry was going about getting into the room all the wrong way. Malfoy had closed all the loopholes in that sense. And this lets us know, hey, all you have to do is try to get into the room of hidden things to see what he was up to.
But isn't it that... I don't remember if I've misremembered it. Doesn't Draco think the room of requirement is only the room of hidden things and that's all that exists? He doesn't actually know it's a room of requirement. He just thinks it's the room of hidden things. That's why he's always asking for that, and that's where he keeps going.
I don't know.
Maybe I got that wrong.
I don't know, because so I have sometimes I have trouble understanding exactly what this room is. partly because it's fiction, but there's so many different names for it, and it takes on so many different roles that it's just, it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah. I think Ivor's interpreted it, and maybe I'm misremembering because I purposely haven't done a close reading of this book until we're going through it, that Draco doesn't realize the full potential of this room. He thinks it's just a room to hide things, and that's all it can appear as, which is why Trelawney can get in when he's in there, because they're after the same thing, and Draco doesn't do like the guarding against it that, like,
yeah,
Harry does in book five, because Harry knew he wanted it to be something specific.
So what you're saying is the room that Harry was trying to get into didn't actually exist.
I've remembered. Well, that's not Draco that thinks that. Okay, I don't know what Draco thinks. It's Voldemort who never realizes the full potential of the room. That's right, what I'm getting confused with.
Yes,
I've got it. Voldemort says, yeah, okay.
Doesn't Voldemort think he was the only person to discover it.
Yes.
He thinks it's a room where you hide things, and he's the only one to ever discover it.
Which it should have been
because
a labyrinth.
It's a room full of things. I can't believe I'm the only one smart enough to find this. Who put this bucket there?
Yeah.
Right.
This dead animal in here. Oh, I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know if Dumbledore. I call every character Dumbledore sometimes, or Voldemort. I mix them up all the time. Okay,
on our podcast, if you mix it up, you have to take a shot.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't have anything. I don't think Draco does necessarily understand the full potential, though, because while he was there in Order of the Phoenix, I think it's a movieism that they actually get into the room. I think that they're caught exiting the room.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Draco
that's
never true. Actually sees the room. He just knows that it was there.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe, Hogwarts is huge. It could be a totally different room in his mind that Harry was looking in.
My headcanon, because he knows about the cabinet because What's-His-Face got stuck in it.
Yeah,
because
Montague got stuck in it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
My headcanon is that he found out about the room because he might have been like involved or there when the cabinet was then, after he got freed, was then like hidden.
Yes.
So he might have known, well, he had to have known where it was hidden. So I like to think that he found out about the room at that point when they were like, oh, we'll hide it in the room for like hiding things, and maybe he helped carry it or something. So he knows it's there, but that's the only reason that he knows about the room. He doesn't know what else it can do.
Yeah, because I always have assumed that it's, because we know that Filch can access the room and has been hiding things in there, and it's Filch who put the cabinet in there after Montague got stuck. Dumbledore was like, get rid of it, and Filch was like, aha, I have a room where I've been shoving things for years.
Yeah, right.
Vinny says that he could know because of Umbridge. The inquisitorial squad does know what Marietta said. That's also a possibility, but again, she could have, I mean, I don't know word for word, and I don't think anybody knows word for word what Marietta said, and he could still not know beyond that it exists. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't know where it is, and that it's the same room.
Right. It's just interesting.
Also, why is Trelawney hiding bottles when wizards have the ability to make things disappear?
Vanish,
Maybe because she's drunk.
Well, I mean, it also could be that she's not great at transfiguration.
Maybe.
Yeah. But
and
like,
she
even
probably
if
doesn't want to just like throw them out because maybe she feels shame about it.
Where do they go?
Even if it's in there because we need the reminder about hiding things, blah, blah, blah. She could be hiding anything. Mm-hmm. Also, we have Harry in this same book refilling bottles of alcohol. Why does she have empty bottles? You would think if she's struggling with problems with alcohol consumption, she would be refilling them with magic.
But it's quite a hard spell because Harry can't master it until he's on Felix Felicis, and we don't know Trelawney's magical abilities.
Is it only non-verbally that he can't do it?
Oh, maybe it's only non-verbally he can't do it. Good point.
Don't remember. Have I ever read Harry Potter?
Who is Harry Potter? But honestly, though, I think it's just used as more so of a reminder, but if we do dive deep, I feel like maybe she was chosen to be a teacher based off of the prediction that she made that she didn't know that she made. So we don't know what her skills were like in any other form. We don't know how she wielded charms or potions or anything like that. And honestly, possibly she wasn't that talented.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to dog on her or anything like that. I'm just saying, like,
We truly don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, she's also clearly not getting the help she needs, because a few lines later, Harry's like, please go and tell Dumbledore. And she's like, Dumbledore has made it very clear he doesn't want to hear from me anymore. Like, which, yeah, she's often spouting, like, nonsense, which he doesn't want to hear. But it also means she's not going to him when she does need to be going to him.
But also, she's not spouting nonsense.
No, the card is about to pull out, the lightning-struck tower, is exactly what's going to happen tonight. Yes. She is making another real prediction.
Yeah, and she's talking about how, like, bad things are on the horizon and about to happen. And like,
not wrong.
And interestingly, she says that, like, Firenze, like, you know, not, like, disagrees, but kind of brushes her off. And it's like, has she out-predicted Firenze?
Yeah.
Or is he just like, oh, I know, I don't care.
We're in a war, bad things are going to happen. But it's the specificity of the lightning-struck tower as well that I'm like,
So it's like, she's not spouting nonsense.
Nope.
Maybe Dumbledore should listen.
I feel so bad for her, like, honestly. I do. Like, I really do. And I, you know, just the last thing that I'll say about this whole, like, you know, her being the one to, like, hide sherry bottles, like, Charlie said, it could be anything that she hides. Why did you have to point out that it was sherry bottles? Mm-hmm. And second, while it is a plot device, I guess, to remind Harry that you can, like, this is just the room where things get hidden, it didn't have to be Trelawney to remind him of this. Mm-hmm. And while it was a plot device, it also was comedic. In that sense, like, yes, you can still use it as just a plot device, but that doesn't mean that you're not putting comedic relief on top of it. And it's just kind of crappy.
Yeah.
So
something Chelsea said way before, she said, I wonder if all the teachers knew about her drinking, but nobody said anything because they just chalked it up to Trelawney being Trelawney. And that's not OK.
Well,
and then Katie T said Katie said it could undercut her seer thing, if she's seen as this person who drinks, she, you know, people might not trust her and her actual real predictions, which we know that's true because people think she's just a fraud.
Yeah,
I do like Mia added to that and said that that's a pretty bold statement though to make about alcoholics in general. Like, it seems rather unfair to say, like, oh, they're suddenly just not trustworthy.
Oh no, I totally agree. I'm just saying that people do make those bad assumptions.
We also have to think about this, like, with anybody who has an addiction of any kind, like, these people are colleagues. They're not family members. They're not anybody like that. We don't know what the relationships were like. We know that McGonagall wasn't too fond of her as a person, so they're not hanging out being BFFs. But, like, to, like, approach someone that has an addiction and be like, hey, you need to change, that's not how that works. Like,
you're not going to listen to a colleague, and that shouldn't be a colleague's responsibility also. But, like,
if it could have come from anybody, Dumbledore would have been the person. He's the head of the school. This is your job. If it's affecting your job, which she didn't have seeing abilities during her job times, like, that would have probably needed to come from him. Also, people need to make that decision for themselves.
You know what I mean? I would say, like, I do agree about, you know, it not being the place of the colleagues. I think this situation is slightly different in, like, two ways. One, they do, like, essentially live together.
It's a very weird set of circumstances.
So it's, like, slightly weird. And also, like, she's responsible for, like, children.
Yep.
So I'm kind of like, I feel like then, but yeah, it absolutely should have been... Dumbledore shouldn't have been like, hey, can you visit me less? You're really annoying. He should, one, have been listening to her direct predictions, and two, should have been like, hey, I'm concerned. You can't be drunk around children that you're responsible for. You know, let's get you some help.
Are you saying, sorry that Dumbledore is bad at safeguarding children?
Yes!
No.
Sure.
That is brand new information.
Dumbledore?
It was Brian.
Oh,
this man doesn't care if any of the children live or die.
He really doesn't.
Nope.
It's wild.
For the greater good.
Yeah, it's wild that he, like, turned down all these different positions to be a teacher and then seems to have zero interest in doing his job.
Right.
I'm not gonna keep a single child safe.
Oh, man. Dumbledore is, like, hyper fixated on, like, just keeping Harry alive until he has to die.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Everything else is background.
All of the other students, he's like, all of the other hundreds or thousands or two can die at any time. This one has to wait to die.
Yeah.
And therefore, yeah, I'm only going to focus on him.
Yeah.
Oh, Dumbledore.
Oh, Dumbledore. Where the heck was I?
After the Harry Potter thing. Conversation?
Okay. Yeah. So Harry is like, what happened? But then in true Harry fashion, stops paying attention as Trelawney starts answering because he notices where they are. They are right outside the room of requirement. So Harry, I think, interrupted her and was like, hold on, were you trying to get into the room of requirement? And she stops and is like, I didn't know students knew about that. Like, again, we've talked about this. Everyone thinks like they are the only person that knows this room exists.
Why are people like this?
I am a genius. Look at this wonderful room that only I found.
The school's been here for 40 million years and no one else knows about it.
In this room that I didn't put here.
Yeah, but no one knows.
I mean, to be fair, how on earth did the first person discover it? I'm assuming the first person didn't discover it. Somebody made it and then it's been passed out, because the fact that people discover it by accident is wild to me. How are you passing a bit of wall three times by accident?
Yeah. Right? I have a new headcanon.
Okay. Ooh, tell me.
I feel like this would be a very Rowena Ravenclaw room to create.
Totally.
Yeah, Slytherin made his old snake lair. Why not this? This seems very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Especially 100%. Considering like how you get into the Ravenclaw common room versus how you get into the room requirement. Like, pretty cool.
KDT's just said right before Tiffany dropped that they love the headcanon that Helga Hufflepuff created it.
Ooh, fight.
I do think it was a founder, whether it was Ravenclaw or Helga.
If it's Ravenclaw, then it's very full circle that her diadem ends up in
there.
Very true.
I like that.
I like that.
I think Helga went downstairs and was like, kitchen, I got it. Don't
the
even
kitchen's
touch
hers.
It.
Yeah, totally
the kitchen. Mine.
Bree said maybe it was them together as a duo. Besties room.
Gryffindor was just like, we're making secret rooms. No one told me. I haven't made one.
I just
He's like, I've got a sword.
Right.
I've got a sword. I'm so cool.
Okay, so Harry's like, well, not all the students do, but what happened? I heard you scream. And Trelawney's suddenly, like, kind of a little bit shifty. And she's like, I wanted to, like, deposit some personal stuff in here. And Meg, I was going to ask you if you would help me read this part, because you do a great Trelawney. And it's like
yes!
a back and forth.
Oh, do it.
Would you mind?
Sure.
Because otherwise it just sounds weird.
Listen, you owe her after all your Jimmy comments.
Real. I have to, like, remember, how do I do her
Trelawney.
Voice?
Right? Okay. Like that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
This ends this part.
Okay.
This section of this episode. Okay. Right, said Harry. I think right. said Harry, glancing down at the sherry bottles. But you couldn't get in and hide them? He found this very odd. The room had opened for him, after all, when he had wanted to hide the Half-Blood Prince's book.
Oh, I got in all right. But there was somebody already in there.
It's the British for me.
It's the British bit.
I know you guys are asking me to do this in front of them.
It was the.
Do you want me?
Right?
Do you want me to try and be all British too?
Yes. Embarrass yourself.
Don't make me the only one that does it.
We can say who did the better British.
It's gonna be awful, but okay.
Oh, dude.
Can't wait.
Somebody in. Who? Who was in there?
Okay.
It's so bad.
Why have you got the kind of cockney?
No,
do you think we sound like that?
No, you sound cute.
If I was doing my own, it wouldn't be like this. It's because it's Trelawney, okay?
You need to be more grand.
I have no idea.
What?
Oh,
room and I heard a voice. Which has never happened before in all my years of hiding. Of using the room, I mean.
A voice?
Saying what? I don't know that it was saying anything. It was whooping?
Whooping?
Gleefully.
Was it male or female?
I would hazard a guess at male.
And it sounded happy.
Very happy.
Happy?
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 Just say that.
You sounded like, have you seen that Creek? Yes. You sounded like the mum in that.
Yes. The baby.
The baby. The baby.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Are we done with the quote?
No.
No. Line. Finish it up and then I have to say something.
As though it was celebrating?
Most definitely.
Most. Okay. So Distant Rose says, could we hear a goblet of wine do American accent? Oh,
I knew that was going to happen. I forgot we had a live audience.
We have to go now.
No.
What
no.
would you like us to say?
Oh, Discord. Gosh.
Yeah, what give us a give us Discord? A really American sentence. It's gonna have to have
God.
Like.
Oh yeah, we can both do Barbie Girl.
Oh my God, no, do you want to go to Starbucks?
California's too easy.
Oh my God, let's go to Starbucks.
Yeah, let's go to Starbucks, and then we can go to the mall. Let's go shopping.
I love going to the mall.
Hannah, you transformed.
That was really good. That was really good.
Like I literally had like a bodily reaction. Like this is not correct.
Can you give me your best? Oh, excuse me.
What, in British or American?
American. That's very Midwestern. Just gonna scooch by ya. Say, oh, excuse me.
You're gonna
say scooch by ya.
I'm sorry.
Well,
we'll
I don't think I could do that.
No, like, because all I'm thinking of doing it in is a cockney accent. Oh, excuse me, mate.
Excuse me, love. I'm just going to squeeze past you there.
I feel like if I just do an accent, I'm not good, but I can do it a lot better. The moment someone says do an accent, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying
to
think how to do excuse me in an American. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
You're very California.
That's all. It's not even good that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That was a good time.
Lightning bolt round.
Wait, they didn't rate.
Wait, what?
I need to know who did a better accent. I know you're doing Shalani.
I think it was Megan, I have to say.
She does great.
You did hit some really good words there.
Thanks.
I mean, Katie, yours actually wasn't bad.
No, it was actually pretty good.
Far worse.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot worse.
I was also trying
worse.
To be like hairy too. You know, that's strange.
What's wild to me is when people do that, I'm like, is that what you think we sound like?
We know you don't sound like that.
Yeah,
we know we sound bad.
All right.
Oh.
All right. Okay, lightning bolt questions.
Okay.
Vinny asks, which house... Okay, by the way, lightning bolt is basically like, I ask the question and then we all give our own answers to it. That's all this is. Sorry, I felt I should explain. Okay, Vinny asks, which house is the most gossipy?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor or Ravenclaw?
Ravenclaw.
For different reasons.
Ravenclaw.
Those are the two eyes between two, but also, for different reasons.
I feel like Gryffindors would just say it to your face. And be like, but, like, Ravenclaws would be, like, I don't know. They not necessarily, like, behind your back, but they would be, like, it would be, like, backhanded talking. Be like, so they can get all the information.
My immediate reaction was Ravenclaw, but I can also actually see an argument for Slytherin. But I think Slytherin, it would be tactical. It wouldn't just be like, you know, like fickle, blah, blah, blah. It would be like with intention.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, but my gut reaction said Ravenclaw, which is why I went with it. But I was like, also, I don't need another negative connotation about my house, so I'm just going to give it to Ravenclaw.
What a Slytherin thing to do.
Yeah, actually, that's... super true. All right, Mia asks, what magical tattoo would you get?
Like a moving one, like what we were talking about with moving ones.
I'll get a phoenix.
Well, you just got a Taylor Swift tattoo.
I did just get a Taylor Swift tattoo.
What did you get?
I got Oh my god, my sleeve's really tight. Give me a minute.
You could just WhatsApp a photo.
I will do that as well. I wanted to show them. It's you the really mirror ball see. And the moon and the Saturn and then 13 stars.
Cute.
I'll send you a picture.
It. Yeah, yes, send it in the chat.
So I'd get that, but with the stars moving and twinkling.
Cute. Nice.
I'm going to get like some sort of flower that just kind of
I'm going
like,
to send it to you guys
moves,
now.
Get
like,
a lily.
Get a oh my god, like a lily that opens and closes like in number yeah. 7.
Yeah, I might have to copy that, Peely, because like the one tattoo that I want right now is like some gorse bushes. So it'd be quite good to have them going from like winter, just like spiky bushes yeah. to then like flowering.
Oh my
a
god,
bit.
Yeah, love they could like change them. Seasonally. That yeah. would be so cool. That
or I have really like, I have my flying key tattoo. It'd be cool if like the wings could move.
Mm-hmm. That would be so cool.
Every now you hear like a rustling, you're like, is there a bird in here?
Oh, now they make sound too.
Yeah, I mean, it's magic. Anything can happen.
I would also obviously just have a pygmy puff just over one.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh okay. Let's see.
I would still get the one that I want already and have Teddy and Iggy, and they would
meow and
meow.
Cute.
Move their curl little up. Tail.
Oh my god! Yeah, if your cat bath. Tattoo could move its tail, that would be so yeah. cute.
Let's see. Let's see.
Oh, while you're, I'm sorry.
T asks. Why do we think Snape made Harry's punishment so lax?
Because he knew he was at fault.
Yeah, I think he didn't want to let anybody know that was his spell.
Yeah. Well, firstly, Harry can't be expelled because he's only safe at Hogwarts, so he can't be expelled. Yeah. And yeah, then secondly, Snape couldn't delve in too much with Dumbledore or any other teacher where Harry did learn this super evil spell, so.
Yeah. Nope Rope asks, do you think Hogwarts teachers ever had TAs to help out?
No.
Heck no. No, they never got
Heck
any help.
No. They've never had a day's hope in their life.
Kendra asks, what might you have hidden in the room of requirement when you were in school?
When I was in school.
I don't
when
know.
I was in school.
Maybe what I'll maybe I'll like hide my lunch in there and be like, oh, I don't know where my lunch is. I gotta go look for it. And then I just sit in there and eat alone and say,
I was gonna say, I probably would want to just like hide myself in there sometimes.
Yeah.
I would want to hide my hockey/netball skirt in there so I could wear the tracksuit on there, because even in the depths of winter we had to wear a hockey skirt with bare legs. Though the boys could wear tracksuits. So I would hide that and then be like, I don't have it, and then get to wear the tracksuit.
I would hide people that I didn't like in there, and I would make it so they couldn't get out.
Nice. Nice. Katie, did you have anything?
I can't think of something I would hide.
Okay, you would hide all your snacks so no one could find them in your locker.
Accurate. Thank you. That is 100% true.
Okay, last one is from Jess. Who is your favorite Jimmy?
Well, I don't call him that, but my son. My son is James. But he's only James. But everybody else, oh my god. What were they calling him? You guys go on, I'll think of it.
I've never met a Jimmy in real life.
I did have a crush on a boy called Jimmy in high school, so I have to say Jimmy Dean, if you're out there.
His name was Jimmy Dean.
Yeah.
Like the breakfast people?
Like the breakfast sausage?
We don't have that here.
It's like a frozen
I'm
food.
Now going to Facebook this man. I'm like, what does he look like now he's not like 13?
I tried to. Oh, yeah, I remember to find my Jimmy.
I have never in my life met a Jimmy or a Jim.
Oh my god. Hmm. Well, you have to come over here and meet my son. He's really
okay,
cute.
Okay then. I've met a lot of Jameses, but none of them have called themselves Jimmy.
Right. He is James until he says otherwise. They've been calling him J-Mo. So like the alcohol, but since our last name is O'Malley, J-M-O-Malley.
Oh, that's
J-Mo.
I like that.
And I was like, okay, you boys can call him that. He's going to be James Martin. Or I call him Jamesy boy.
Aww.
And my sister likes to be funny. Long story short, I'm from the country, so we make fun of NASCAR because we're allowed. And my dad's name is Robert, but they call him Bob. Mm-hmm. And so we have Bobby Bobby. We have Shibby Bobby, which is a nickname for my nephew because we're out of our minds. And now James is Jimmy Bobby.
Jimmy Bobby.
Because we're
Jimmy
making Bobby. Fun of each other. And I said
the
Duggars. That they,
you can't do that to him.
I'm sorry. It just is what it is. And they, and it's not Jim Bob, it's Jimmy Bobby. But we've been teasing that they have like this very country racing team for NASCAR. So we were going to get them like jerseys.
Oh my gosh.
I have really an incredible plot twist about Jimmy Dean that I fancied as a high schooler. He's gay!
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, me so and my cute. Boy. Which one's Jimmy?
That one.
Oh, you!
Oh.
I don't know of any good. I guess I'm going to take from somebody in Discord, Chelsea said Jim from The Office. I'm gonna go with
yes.
him.
Yeah,
I love
said this the other day. That commercial, six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
I'm gonna go with Jimmy from Downton Abbey.
Oh,
that does not feel like a period name. Like,
no, it is. No, I'm trying to remember who it is.
He's one of the later footmen, and then they all call him James because they're like, that name is too informal. We have to call you James.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And just picturing like, hey, what? Hey,
Jimmy.
Hello.
Jim.
Jim. It just doesn't fit.
Jimmy.
It doesn't. Not for Downton.
No.
I would say my least favorite Jimmy would be James Potter, though.
Oh. Yeah. Whoa. Right, James.
Oh, James.
All right. Jess rounded out the questions, so it's time for a fan story.
Fan yes. story time.
Okay. Read it.
This is from Anthony Kudo of April 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
This is what we call the before times.
The yep. different times.
Yep. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Anthony Kudo. Firstly, I just wanted to thank you girls for this podcast. I wish I had words to convey the impact you've had on my life. Mm. I work all by myself in my department, and this podcast definitely makes the days fly by. I came across it only a few weeks ago.
Years
ago. and I'm already caught up. Edit. Almost caught up. I became a patron recently so I could have even more podcast content to devour. I'm sure I look a little crazy, constantly laughing out loud, and sometimes even speaking out loud, joining the conversation before realizing you can't hear me. I get so into the conversations and I love every second of it. Okay, enough about you. Let's talk about me. I'm a very proud Slytherin.
Makes sense. No, I'm kidding.
My Patronus is a tortoiseshell cat, which makes me very happy because that's the kind of cat I have as a pet.
Oh, but, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. My wand is pine.
Sorry, I'm done. You can go ahead.
My wand is pine wood with a dragon heartstring core, 13 inches and supple flexibility. My Potter story starts off pretty similar to most people. I heard everyone talking about the books and would roll my eyes and think to myself, nothing could be possibly that good. Wowee, I was wrong. My cousin literally dragged me to see the first movie, and after watching it, we went to Barnes & Noble on the way home, and I bought books 2 through 4. Goblet of Fire was the last book out at the time. I fell in love with the series so fast and never wanted to put the books down. I brought them with me to summer camp and sat out of practically every activity so I could mm-hmm. read them. Everyone at the camp, including the counselors, referred to me as Harry Potter because of this. I suppose my constantly untidy dark hair may have had something to do with it, though. Once I got to high school, my mother married someone who was quite possibly the most Dursley-ish man I had Aww. Ever had the displeasure of meeting. Mm. He basically forbade me from being happy. He took away my TV, my games, and even my books. The only reason he gave me was, quote, because you enjoy those things.
What?
What Jeez. On earth?
I relate to Harry in a lot of ways, mainly due to the time I spent living with that horrible man. When I discovered that he was taking my books away, I managed to hide two of my favorites under the sink in my bathroom. The cabinet's floor was loose, so I was able to put my books underneath it. Unfortunately, I was not able to grab any Harry Potter books before they were taken from me. My mother, unfortunately, was not on my side. She was much too concerned with her own happiness to worry about mine. She's always been selfish so much that her own family doesn't ever invite her around. I get the same treatment just because I'm her son. So even though my whole family is very much alive and well, I constantly feel like an orphan with no family to speak of. Fast forward to the end of high school, during my first semester at college, I met a boy who was just as interested in Harry Potter, as well as lots of other nerdy things, as I was. Today we are happily married and about to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
Hmm.
Well, that is good. I'm glad that you found some happiness.
I want to surprise him with a trip to the Wizarding World and Universal Studios, as neither of us have ever been before. I want to write him a Hogwarts acceptance letter, and I'm going to give it to him just before we go.
That's
if you guys
cute.
Have any tips or must-dos that I should know about, I'd really appreciate the help. Side note, I need to know if you guys have gone yet, or
yeah.
if you still need
send us an update, please.
Information.
We also have a bunch of episodes about our trips, so you can go check those out.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that some of those were out before you went.
Uh-huh. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry's story taught me that your family doesn't necessarily have to be blood related to you, and you can live a happy and successful life no matter how miserable your childhood is. I am so grateful to have had these books and movies growing up, and I always love returning to Hogwarts. Before listening to podcasts, I listened to all the Harry Potter audiobooks straight through at work. I finished all 7 with about 13. Where's my bell? Work days. I have the European versions, so the narrator is Stephen Fry, not Jim Dale. However, he still says Canut, and if I'm being honest, I like Stephen Fry's character voices better. Sorry, not sorry.
What?
We win! Vindication.
I hope this story isn't all over the place. I've never been the best writer. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this, and especially thank you for everything you do for this podcast. I will never let the muggles get me down, and I hope you girls don't either. I attached images of my cat as well as me and my husband on our Disney honeymoon. Aww. I thought you'd all enjoy that.
They're
oh my gosh, look
stinking
at them
cute.
Mickey.
Look at the kitty.
So cute.
So cute.
Adorable.
Your cat looks like Iggy.
It does kind of look like Iggy. Twinsies.
So it's I need you to update
angry
me
at the picture too. Those are some angry eyebrows.
That's just how cats look.
I need to know what your cat's name is, and I need to know if you have gone to Universal.
Yes.
Yeah, please tell us.
I hope you have
I'm
the
trying,
best time.
Not me trying to like creepily figure out where this photo is in Disney World that you sent
I know
us.
You were going to be doing and that. You're going to be like,
I'm
where's that ceiling?
Pretty sure that it's Cape May Cafe at Beach Club, so let
I
me know if I'm right.
I can't stand you.
I've never eaten there, but I think that's what the building looks like.
Oh, oh my god.
Hold on. Out of all mind. That was said was Disney honeymoon. It could be Disney.
I don't think it's land.
She just doesn't feel
no, Katie's looking. I'm fairly certain that that's Cape May.
But that hoodie, what is that?
No, that's an old Epcot hoodie.
Okay.
Jeez Louise.
Sorry, not sorry.
Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh. No, I know where that is.
Is it?
It's Hollywood and Vine at Hollywood Studios, and they went to one of the Christmas character dinings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Boom. I know that. I guarantee I'm right.
Anthony, thank you for your story. And
yes.
It's so true. Your family doesn't need to be your blood.
Yes.
True.
And tell me if I was right.
Oh my
Is
God.
Is Hollywood and Vine? Thanks.
Put it in the Facebook right. group if you're there. Thank you.
Let me grab my little pen.
It's just something I'm proud of that I can do, okay?
I'm really proud of you. I'm going to take a picture of the cement somewhere at Disney and she'll be like,
she'll
know.
That's blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
She'll know.
I know that rock.
That's a nice boulder.
I'm going to start doing that to you and being like, Tiffany, where am I?
I love you so much. It hurts.
I love you too.
This book or this joke comes from the Slytherin unofficial Harry Potter joke
Woo!
Book. Stupefying shenanigans for Slytherin.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Why didn't Moaning Myrtle flush?
I don't know, Katie. Why?
Because it wasn't her duty.
Oh! That's gross.
The jokes in these books are so bad.
I also want to point out there's an entire chapter called Draco's Burn Ward. And they're hilarious.
Well,
like,
tell us one of those.
Well, that's impressive because Draco has never been cunning or hilarious right. in his entire
well, like,
life.
They're not actually funny, but because it's Draco's burn ward, that's why it's funny. So, for example, what do you call that useless piece of flesh surrounding a scar? Harry Potter.
I mean, hey. That's better than anyone he ever actually said in the book.
Yeah,
so.
I'm pretty impressed with that one, to be honest. Jeez.
Tell us another one. That's
okay,
good.
Hold on. There was another one in here that I pulled, and now I can't.
That is
it.
Brutal.
That is brutal.
They are really brutal. Oh, there. I gotta find it because it was funny. Hold on. Give me one.
Do 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 do.
Oh no!
Do,
where
do,
did
do,
you go?
Do.
for that.
You're running out of time.
Potter is so dumb. His Patronus is an empty bucket.
What the?
What? That doesn't make any sense.
That wasn't even the one I was going to say.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Save anyway. Some. There's not very many good ones in there. You gotta save them.
Honestly, give me the Sochmeads.
If after this chaos, you would still like to follow us on social media, you can. Myself and Katie are on Instagram at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram at tiffswish_flick.
Truth.
Ladies, would you like to plug yourselves as well, please?
You want me to go?
Yeah. You can listen to Goblet of Wine anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We are also rereading the Harry Potter books like you guys are. We're actually not that far behind you. We are a third of the way through Half-Blood Prince, half the way through mm-hmm. Half-Blood Prince. Our podcast is not safe for work, not safe for children. Many swears. So be warned with that if you're coming over from this podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. Do not play it out loud in an office environment, please. Yep. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Is that it? I mean, whilst Twitter's still alive, anyway.
Yeah, follow us there.
Yeah, and we are at always either Goblet Wine Pod or Goblet Wine Podcast.
Yeah.
Yay.
Nice.
I found the joke.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Quick.
Sorry. Again, this is Draco's burn ward.
Okay.
Did you hear the joke about Harry Potter? It stinks.
Oh no.
That hurt me.
Deep down in my soul.
Potter.
Okay. There on that go. Note, we did get a bingo today. Our Yay. Patrons play bingo while we talk, and it's always a fun time. So congratulations to Amy, Lou, Mary, Sue from Ravenclaw. You earned Ravenclaw some points.
Great job.
Of course. They're still in first. Let's see where they're at. Okay, so that means Ravenclaw is in first place still with 4,354 points. Hufflepuff is in second with 3,324 points. Slytherin is in third with 2,802. And Gryffindor is in fourth with 2,402.
Gryffindor creeping up on Slytherin.
It's only because they so cheated last recording.
Yeah.
What? Because Vinny decided to award 500 points instead of 50.
That's because my husband on the internet doesn't want to be grounded anymore. So,
well, I grounded him and he's a Slytherin. So mine's a real grounding because usually we're on the same page here, Vinny. You are the Slytherin prefect.
Oh no. Vinny had to pop that in there.
Ew.
Right. I cannot with that gif. It's my face on a baby.
It's your face on Renesmee.
I hate that.
I cannot. Okay. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, this episode is for you, Goblet of Wine. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much for having us. It was so overdue.
It really is.
Yeah, this is so much fun. We loved going on, and we just love you guys so much.
We love you guys so much too.
And I'm totally going to be recruiting you guys to come hop on over to Court of Swish and Flick as well. Talk about that guitar.
Please.
I would like that when I finish the books, and it's going to have spoilers in it.
Yes.
So, yeah. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and chatting with us. And you did a very good job at keeping it PG. So yes.
Yay!
High five. We knew you could do it. All right, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Hold on, you're getting all at me. You had a boyfriend. Well, you went on a date.
I did not have a boyfriend. I went on a date, and it was terrible.
Yeah, you went to Champs, and you said you didn't eat any of your food.
It was just awkward conversation.
Yeah, I love these marital spats.
My mom tried to set me up with somebody and it did not go well.
Well, it was
because
a boy,
I had just met Katie.
Nope.
Poor guy.
He never stood a chance.
We didn't even hold hands.
We didn't even hold hands.
They shared candy at a movie. Yeah, that
shared candy.
Bye, Swishers. Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.